Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we feature a visit with Joe Asher, the CEO of William Hill U.S., on last week's momentous Supreme Court decision and what it means for the industry, sports bettors, and his company. The GGB Podcast is brought to you by iGaming Player, the leading affiliate marketing service for land-based and online gaming in North America, and soon with a new focus on sports betting. To read more about the service, visit iGamingPlayer.com. Joe Asher has been in the wagering business for more than 20 years. He was appointed CEO at William Hill U.S. in 2012 and has been growing the company in Nevada during that period. William Hill now operates more than 100 sportsbooks in the state and offers a state-of-the-art mobile platform as well. Last week's Supreme Court decision opens up an incredible amount of opportunity for William Hill in states that decide to legalize sports betting. Asher outlines what will attract his company to those states and why casinos should be considering hiring William Hill to operate their sports books. He spoke with me at the William Hill offices in Las Vegas last week. Joe Asher, thanks for joining us on the podcast. We saw each other a couple of weeks ago at the Southern Gaming Summit. You were kind enough to help us out with the sports betting panel, and it was right before the Supreme Court decision, and now we're back talking about it. So let's start with how, if you were surprised about the breadth of the decision, that seemed to be pretty clear.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't surprised. I mean, I was in the courtroom in December when the case was argued, and obviously anyone in the courtroom on our side had a pretty good feeling that day, but you never know. So while I thought this was the most likely outcome, and that's what we've been saying internally, you don't know, and you're reading tea leaves and trying to determine votes by questions, right, and the like. So surprise, no, but obviously happy to read it.
Sure, absolutely. So what is the immediate impact going to be, first on the industry and then on your company?
Well, clearly, just about everybody in the industry is now focused around sports betting. And before the decision, it was one of those things that was a priority amongst a lot of other priorities, right, that folks had. And it obviously went to the top of the pile
right
after that. And, folks that we've been having discussions with over the last couple of years, we're on the phone on Monday, mm-hmm, we got to do something now type of thing. So it certainly crystallized attention, and people now will go forward and make the investments that are required to be made. On our side, we've been doing a lot of work and spending a lot of money in anticipation, mm-hmm, of the ruling, not because we were certain that's what the ruling was going to be, but because we felt we had to invest in order to be ready in the event of a positive ruling. But clearly there were some things that we were deferring,
sure,
pending the outcome, long-term leases, for additional office space, and contracts with other operators, those types of things, are you're now comfortable pulling the trigger on those sorts of things.
So I guess you're going to add more personnel.
Oh, sure. We've been adding a lot of people over the last 6 months. Mm-hmm. I mean, the argument in December, even stepping back from that, the decision of the Supreme Court to grant cert, I think, started the process,
right,
of really thinking through what was going to be necessary to be ready. The argument in December really jump-started those efforts and put a finer point on those efforts when it seemed pretty clear there were at least five votes going to rule for New Jersey. So we've been doing a lot of hiring, but boy, we got a lot of lot of openings and, mm-hmm, and a lot of interviewing going on. And look, it's a challenge in finding people who,
sure,
have either a background in sports betting, mm-hmm. but not in the black market, because we will not hire anybody who's worked in the black market. Right. So some type of background in legal sports betting, the wider gaming industry, failing that, or otherwise. And, you know, it's not easy, especially in an economy that in this city in particular is, sure. is pretty vibrant right now.
Yeah, no question. So let's talk about, you know, the sports book you built in New Jersey for Mom and Park. You did this, what, two or three years ago now?
2013,
okay, so it's been
5 years.
Yeah. And that was anticipation of a bill that passed in New Jersey that kind of removed the state oversight over I'm forgetting what exactly was the situation there.
No, so in 2012, I'd been reading in the press that this fella, Dennis Drazen at Monmouth Park, was mm-hmm. looking to bring sports betting there and was really trying to push the issue.
Right.
And I tracked down his phone number and just cold called him. I'd never met him, never spoken with him, and just called him up and arranged to come visit him at the track, which I did. And we actually sat in his box. Monmouth Park was running at the time. Mm-hmm. And I think Dennis is a big horse owner, happened to have a horse running, and his right. horse won that day. Mm-hmm. So I think it was a good omen. but anyway, the thinking on our side was, look, I don't know when it's going to happen, but one day sports betting is going to be legal in New Jersey, and I think it's going to be legal at Monmouth Park. And whenever that day is, we want to be here. And I didn't know if that meant 2013, mm-hmm. 2015, 2018, or 2025.
Right.
I mean, there was no prediction mm-hmm. As to when it was going to be. But we were able to come to an agreement with Dennis, and it's a 50-50 profit share for 50 years. Mm-hmm. So, you know, longer than it'll be relevant to
sure.
me, but.
Right.
Michael Grodzki, our head of marketing, he's a young guy, so you know he'll have to worry about the renewal.
Right.
That was really the thinking around it.
Right.
And so we took an old, tired cafeteria, put over $1 million into it, and renovated it into a very nice sports bar.
Right.
It's called the William Hill Sports Bar, with the idea that that was going to become the sports book. And then obviously we've been spending a lot of time to freshen it up and make sure that it can be converted into mm-hmm. a sports book. And we came to the conclusion it's probably too small for the crowds that we anticipate. And so we built out an adjacent space mm-hmm. That used to be where you cashed your tickets on the horses
okay.
back when they had the separate bet cash days.
Right.
And you know, that's been converted into an auxiliary sports book.
Okay. So are you still planning to open that by the end of the month, or is that kind of on hold right now, depending upon what happens in New Jersey legislature?
Yeah, it's. I think this idea of it being open by Memorial Day has been somewhat overblown,
yeah.
frankly.
Mm-hmm.
We've always just consistently said, look, from an operational perspective, we'd be ready in 2 weeks. Because we've done all the work and we just need to put in a little more equipment. We need to hire the frontline employees, mm-hmm. make sure they're trained properly. And then it's just dependent on the legislation mm-hmm. and the regulation. Now, I think that's going to happen pretty quickly,
right.
hopefully all in June. Having invested 6 years and over $8 million in taxpayer funds mm-hmm. pursuing this litigation to its victorious conclusion. I think there is a desire amongst many in New Jersey to get to it
right.
as soon as possible, and that's entirely justified. And we're going to do our best to support that, but in a responsible fashion.
Of course. Okay. So now we're looking at states considering legislation. It seems as though a lot of the politicians don't have a realistic view of the business model of sports betting. Is that your impression?
Well, obviously some are more informed than others,
mm-hmm.
clearly, as is the case with every issue.
Right.
But it is so important to have a tax structure in place and a regulatory environment in place that is going to allow us to be competitive
mm-hmm.
with the black market.
Right.
If you look in Nevada, we pay the gross gaming tax, which caps out at 6.75%,
right.
starts lower. But the most you can pay is 6.75% of revenue. And there's a well-developed regulatory system.
Right.
Contrast that with Pennsylvania, where the bill that passed requires a sportsbook operator pay $10 million up front for the privilege of then paying 36% at the state and local level.
Right.
And, of course, that's in addition to the quarter point of handle tax, which is about another 5% of revenue.
Right.
If you use the blended margin in Nevada, 5%. So you're paying $10 million up front for the right to pay 41% thereafter.
Right.
Okay. How in the world can the legal market possibly compete with all of the bookies in Philly and Pittsburgh? And, you know, my mother-in-law is from Chester, so I got to give Chester a shout-out.
Right.
And Trafford, home of Jimmy Vaccaro, and how can you compete with those bookies who, in many times, they have decades long relationships with their customers?
Right.
So the illegal bookie in Chester, he can say, "Look, I'm going to give you a 25% rebate on all your losses," and he'll still have a 16 percentage point advantage over us. He hasn't paid the $10 million up front.
Right.
He doesn't have all these infrastructure costs that you see if you come to our office. He doesn't have a compliance department.
Right.
he's not paying payroll tax.
Right.
Right. And so that tax rate is just crushing. And so while we've spent millions of dollars in New Jersey and countless days and time, and we've had people at Monmouth Park pretty much every week, every other week, this entire year, and we had guys on the ground Tuesday morning after the ruling. We really haven't spent a whole lot of time in Pennsylvania because of the tax issue.
Sure.
So that is going to be an absolute critical aspect of all of this.
Okay. So, and then on top of that, of course, we have the sports leagues suggesting the integrity fee, which I find an ironic name for this fee, because it's the lack of integrity fee, I think, on top of that. If you're interested in how much money is being bet, you know, that's not integrity. So how would that impact, you know, the business model?
Well, look, it's, you know, it's just another, it would become another cost.
Right.
The integrity tax, because it's really a tax,
it is a tax.
Right? Look, my general view on taxes is they are to be assessed by the government for the benefit of all the citizens. They're not to be for the benefit of private parties and the privileged few. So they came out with this integrity tax. Oh, and it's only 1%.
Right.
Well, but it's 1% of handle,
right.
which in a business where your margin's 5%, that represents 20% of revenue. Okay, so, I mean, it's just a massive amount of money. And I'll tell you who really ought to be up in arms over this thing is the media companies, right? Because what's the one controllable expense that you have in a business? It's your marketing dollars,
sure, right.
right? You know, your payroll, you know, your payroll's fixed, your rent's fixed, and so forth. And so if you had to turn over 20% of your revenue to the NBA or
right.
the Major League Baseball, well, you don't have that money to spend with ESPN or Fox or NBC and the like. So I think they're starting to ratchet back the ask on that
right.
to a quarter point, which is still 5% of revenue. But, you know, the idea that somehow this is about integrity, it's not.
Right.
It is not about integrity at all. Because the reality is, and I think everybody would agree, there is much more of a threat to integrity in the black market than there's going to be in the heavily regulated legal market. And so if anything, integrity concerns will go down.
Sure.
And it's not as though there's somehow now a huge threat to integrity that didn't exist before. This is just about money.
Sure.
It is being dressed up
right.
as an integrity concern. But it's got nothing to do with that. This is just a cut of the action.
Right. Is that also what, you know, the suggestion that you pay for the data, you know, from the leagues? Is that just another money grab?
Well, the problem with how they've tried to structure it, it's not that you pay for data, because we pay for data today.
Of course, right.
but there's no legislative mandate to use one person's particular data,
right,
or one company's particular data. And what the leagues want is you have to get the data from a league-approved data source, okay, which translates into they have a monopoly over the data, and therefore they can charge whatever they want for it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you want the data, you have to pay what they ask is or you can't get the data. Now, the way they've tried to structure this is in order to pay winning tickets, you have to get the result.
Right.
From them. So I can't watch the Super Bowl. Like today here in Nevada, we can watch the Super Bowl on TV, see that the final score is 41-33, and pay our customers based on that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the way it works under their proposed legislation. Under their proposed legislation, you'd have to buy this final score from them. Oh, you want the final score of the Super Bowl? That'll cost you $5 million. So, I mean,
yeah.
it's just a ridiculous suggestion, and it is got nothing at all to do with any type of integrity concern. It's about money,
right.
M-O-N-E-Y.
Of course, right. So the leagues seem to be, you know, striking out in a lot of the states that are considering now. Now it looks like they're turning to Congress. Are you concerned that Congress will knuckle under to them?
Well, you know, I long ago gave up predicting what the United States Congress is going to do. I just find it fascinating that, you know, look, gambling is a matter that's historically regulated by the states.
Right.
And the Supreme Court basically said it's up to the states to legalize this if they want it. Don't legalize it if you don't want it. And that's the way it should be, because that's the way it is with all forms of gambling. So the idea that we need some sort of federal intervention in this issue is just, I just don't get that at all.
Right.
And of course, you know, the Supreme Court's decision was a big victory for states' rights. And so for people who support states' rights to now be suggesting there ought to be federal regulation sports betting, I fail to see the consistency in that view. So there's no need for federal regulation. To suggest that the states are not equipped to regulate this
right.
is frankly insulting to state regulators
right.
who, at least all the ones I've met, and I've met a lot all across the country, they take their jobs very seriously and they understand that they are representing a sacred public trust around gaming. And to suggest that they're not equipped to do this, I just think is a great discredit to regulators across the country.
Right, right, great. All right, so you mentioned early on that this went to the top of everybody's to-do list now. And, of course, a lot of casinos, especially the smaller standalone casinos and small casino companies, don't really have the expertise or the knowledge of how to run a sports book. So your company does that. How many sports books do you run here in Nevada?
We've got 107 opened today.
Okay, so it'd be easiest for them to just bring you in. What do you bring to the table? You know, when you go into a casino to run their sports book.
Well, look, this is our little niche of the world. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been around the gaming industry my whole life, and if you want to talk to me about slot machines or table games, I can have a very superficial conversation with you. If you want to talk to me about hotel rooms, I can tell you about, you know, the pillow in the room. But that's, you know, what I like and don't like. But if you want to talk about sports betting, you know, that is the tiny little sliver of the world that we happen to know an awful lot about. And that's where we focus our efforts. And so for a casino operator who's got a whole bunch of other things on their plate, outsourcing it to William Hill is a great option. And so
sure.
that's why people turn to us to outsource. They're going to have a better product.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to make a lot more money because they're not going to have all the costs
right.
associated with doing it. And it'll be attractive to their customers. So
right.
that's really the proposition. And they can rest assured that they're dealing with a company that is licensed and a known commodity,
mm-hmm.
good relationships with regulators, and is going to do things, you know, in the proper manner.
Right. And at the end of the day, you know, this is still a very pretty small slice of their overall revenue. You know, when you look at the gross gaming revenue they get, the non-gaming revenue, you know, you compare it to the sports betting revenue, it's going to be a pretty small piece. So, you know, why spend a lot of money chasing that?
Well, they're most casino operators are going to be much better off trying to figure out how to get an extra $5 a day out of a slot machine or an extra $5 a day ADR for the rooms than trying to mess around with sports betting. And we think, obviously, they're much better served just turning that over to us.
Sure. So what when you add the mobile aspect to this, how does that change the equation for you when you're going into a state?
Well, look, we recognize that states are going to treat mobile in different ways. Mm-hmm. The process in Nevada is you go into a casino and sign up for a mobile account, and then you can bet anywhere within the state. I think the expectation is some states will allow for what's called remote registration, mm-hmm. where you can register anywhere within the state. You don't have to go to a casino in New Jersey, for instance, hypothetically, to register, but then you could bet anywhere in New Jersey. But other states, including one of my favorites, Mississippi, home of the Shed Barbecue Restaurant, is unlikely to have mobile in the early days.
Right.
And, you know, and that's okay. That is a public policy choice mm-hmm. that is left to the legislature and the regulators in those states. And that's the real vindication from the Supreme Court's decision.
Right.
And so whatever the rules are, we'll adapt to those rules and offer a product that's consistent with them.
Okay, great. All right, one more question. When we first met, you were running a small little company in Delaware and had a pretty good life. And then at that point, you know, we never thought sports betting would be legal probably in our lifetime, I think. It was almost the third rail. But here we are, you know, on the cusp of it being legal in a lot of states. How does that make you feel now that you know we've reached this point, you know, in the industry?
Well, look, I've always thought that eventually rational policy was going to carry the day, and eventually sports betting was going to become legal.
Okay.
I never gave anybody a date.
Yeah.
But I was pretty confident that at some point we were going to get to this point.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I got to tell you, I think for a lot of folks in the industry, there's great vindication in the Supreme Court's decision, and I've spoken with and read some comments from some of the old, you know, the old time bookmakers in this town,
mm-hmm.
and there's a feeling in many parts that a stigma on the industry has been lifted.
Right.
And look, I always found it difficult to explain to my kids why William Hill didn't have any sports books in other states. I mean, how do you explain that to young
right.
children?
Yeah.
And it was difficult to explain that to them. That, you know, well, sports betting is only legal in Nevada. Well, why, Daddy? Well, there's this federal law that stops it from being legal in other states. Well, why is that, Daddy? Well, I guess Congress thought it wasn't a good thing. Well, but how come we can do it here, right? So how do you explain that
right.
to children? I think that the Supreme Court's decision lifts a stigma on the industry that is felt by a number of people who work in the sports betting
sure.
world here in Nevada.
Yeah, great. Well, let's stay in touch. I mean, there's going to be a lot of developments going on here, you have the sanest voice, I think, in the industry. So we're glad to talk to you, and thanks for coming.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks very much.
We hope you enjoyed this edition of the GGB Podcast, brought to you by iGamingPlayer.com, the leading affiliate marketing service for land-based and online casinos in North America. To learn more about the gaming industry, visit ggbmagazine.com, or for a weekly update, visit ggbnews.com. Follow us on Twitter at Global Gaming Biz, or on LinkedIn and Facebook at Global Gaming Business Magazine. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week on the Global Gaming Business Podcast.